Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
Bittrex is a cryptocurrency exchange empowering traders to feed their curiosity. With more than 100 tokens and unparalleled security, Bittrex offers a platform for next big thing discoverers to dive in. Get ready to trade beyond the trend. Discover more at bittrex.com. Trading involves significant risk of loss and is not suitable for all individuals. Carefully consider your level of experience and risk before trading.
Welcome to Savvy Business, Life Unscripted with your host, Christina Rivera, where our guests share their wisdom and valuable business tips, empowering our audience to expand their personal potential.
Hi, Dr. Michael Myers. Welcome to Savvy Broadcasting. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. Delighted to be here.
Oh, you betcha. I am so grateful to have you here today. We're going to talk about mental health challenges for physicians, but also for everyone listening in. It's been a really, really tough 2020 and going into 2021 with a bunch of challenges. And you wrote a wonderful book called Becoming a Doctor's Doctor, which I'd love you to share more about when we get started. But before we go to all of those wonderful tidbits on how we can help people through mental health challenges, share how you became a doctor, how you came to writing your book. How did that come about?
Oh, okay. I studied medicine back in the 60s, actually, a long, long time ago. And I didn't start out in psychiatry right away. After I finished, I worked as an emergency physician for a while, then I began training in internal medicine. But it was through that process that I became interested in psychiatry. It had to do with losing a lot of patients to suicide and tending to their medical and surgical injuries. But I felt like I wanted to try to make a difference earlier in their life so that they, you know, wouldn't have to, you know, reach that state where they actually attempt suicide. And so it was through that process of studying in psychiatry that then I became interested specifically in physician health. So, and there had also been a tragedy in my life when I was in medical school, a first year medical student. One of my roommates, there were four of us living together, all medical students, took his life over the Thanksgiving weekend. Mm. And that was back in 1962. And the stigma associated with that, well, first of all, suicide, and then any challenges in medical students or physicians were so profound that it was almost covered up. I've thought about this a lot, as you can imagine, Christina, over the years, that Bill's death would have been handled so differently if he was killed in a motor vehicle accident or died of cancer or something like that. So those are some of the basic things that kind of got me started, you know, on this path into physician health.
You know, what's interesting to me, Dr. Myers, is that I don't think we often think about just the body or just the mind or the mental, but I don't think we often see the whole package. Like someone can come in, present with symptoms, come into the hospital, but it's the whole package. It's sometimes there's a lot of layers on what brought that person there, on how they got sick. And it's not just the body, it's the whole package. And so what makes, you know, being a physician really, it sounds like it's a super stressful environment to both be a student physician and a physician itself.
Yes. Yeah. So that's one part of it. For instance, you know, the strain and the, you know, the hard work of medicine. Mm-hmm. And it's got to do a lot with the medical system these days. You read a lot about burnout in doctors being more than 50%, which is high. And many of them will say that if they could just practice medicine the way they were trained to do, they wouldn't be burned out. And so what they're describing is a healthcare system that works at odds to them in order to actually spend time with patients, to not have to deal with some of the restrictions of insurance companies, the electronic health records, the medical records. They're spending so much time sort of in front of a computer screen, time that they would prefer to be spending on a face-to-face time with their patients. Or if it's not that, then it's got to do with a position where they are expected to bill and see so many patients in a set period of time that they use terms like assembly line medicine and things like that. And it's demoralizing and it's numbing. And that's why so many people get unhappy. So that's one part of it. But the other aspect in physicians' lives is, well, there are a number, but one is perfectionism. I mean, as you probably know, it's not easy to get into medical school. And so you have to be somewhat perfectionistic, first of all, to just even get in, and then to remain in, to do well, and then through your life, you know, in a sense, keeping up, being on top of things, being, you know, a doctor who practices cutting edge medicine, things like that. And again, that can put a strain on somebody if they're quite perfectionistic, sometimes like too perfectionistic, they have trouble cutting themselves some slack. So that's another factor. And the other one, which really resonates with me so much because I work as a psychiatrist in the mental health field, is the stigma associated with getting psychiatric help is actually higher in the medical profession than in the general profession, sort of in the general public. And that's ironical because people have this thought that, gosh, if a doctor, you know, felt that she was getting depressed or anxious or whatever, she would, you know, get in touch with her primary care physician, get referred to perhaps a psychiatrist, a psychologist, things like that. But it doesn't work that way. So many of them feel deeply ashamed, embarrassed if that this is happening to them. That's why I put quite a lot in my book on that subject, actually, of how hard it is for physicians themselves to become patients. So I have found in my research that there are too many physicians who get quite ill, some of whom actually end up dying by suicide, who have received absolutely no care at all. And as you know, that also feels so much of a, like of a paradox, that you would expect that they would get the care that they deliver and provide to others, that kind of thing. So those are some of the themes that, you know, really can contribute to mental health challenges in doctors.
It's sad how, you know, and this is the general public, you said, gets, it's much easier for them to get help in the mental health industry, but still there is stigma. Even a number of years ago, I had gone to a psychologist. I was having some personal issues and, you know, people are like, what's up with her? Why is she going for mental health? You know, there's still that kind of stigma. You must be crazy or having some but you know, modern life is hard, and even more so now. How many children with COVID, because they're locked in front of a computer screen? This is not natural for people, period. Forget about children. The natural development and learning, to be just stuck in front of a Zoom, there's a lot of mental health anxiety, and you know, there should be opening up more to realize, okay, there's nothing, you don't have to be crazy or have some horrible, you know, mental illness to seek help or need help.
See, but Christina, what is so nice is just to hear you speak openly like that. Mm-hmm. And I notice that in the medical field, when a doctor or a medical student does that, mm-hmm. that is really refreshing, and it chips away at stigma.
Yeah.
Because then colleagues say, well, look, if she can be so transparent, mm-hmm. then I'm going to go get some help myself and stop beating myself up and judging myself. Mm-hmm. So now what we're trying, the message we're trying to get out is getting help is the smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of trying to word it that way and frame it that way because it's true.
Yeah. The way I see it is in different phases of our life, we'll have different breakdowns of our mind, body, or spirit. You know,
absolutely.
Our mental capacity will need to be overtaxed at times, like maybe now with what's going on.
Yes.
And we'll need help in that area. In other areas, maybe, you know, you'll have a thyroid issue and your body will need some.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, your body isn't always on optimal level and you'll need different care at different times.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. So let's say you're not a physician, but you have felt challenges, but you don't really attribute them. Because I think when people think you need to see a psychologist or a psychotherapist is when you actually have real psychological issues or diseases. And that's not always the case. When should people decide or think that maybe it's a good time to seek out help?
Well, what I always tell people sort of in general, that if it gets to a point where, first of all, it's not going away.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, if you are somebody who does have a lot of supports, for instance, family members, friends, and you're opening up to them,
mm-hmm.
and you're still not feeling well, or if it's getting worse, if you notice, for instance, that you're not sleeping well, mm-hmm. or you're having trouble concentrating, or perhaps losing weight, or putting on weight, or maybe drinking too much, all that sort of stuff, those should all be red flags, all signals that go to your primary care professional, whoever that might be. It may be a physician, it could be a nurse practitioner, it could be a PA, someone like that, who can do what we call sort of a triage, mm-hmm. assess all of this, try to gauge perhaps the strain you're under, and then take it from there.
Yeah.
It may be then a straightforward referral to a clinical social worker, to a psychologist. It may be that plus a short-term use of medication if necessary, things like that. But at least what you're doing with that, you're turning yourself over to skilled professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And just that helps. Just knowing that there's somebody who's watching out for you, taking care of you, has your best interest at heart. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what makes it hard for people to realize there's an issue sometimes in their life is that when it comes to a physical issue, you usually can see the symptoms. And so it's like, oh, yeah, I'm coughing a lot, or my thyroid is off, or like you've got physical symptoms. But when it's psychological, you don't mm-hmm. have the physical symptoms, but you feel it can affect you physically. So it's harder to say, okay, I really have a problem. But I like that you mentioned there are some key elements, like you're having trouble concentrating, you're foggy, mm-hmm. you're not sleeping very well, maybe you're having a lot of negative running thoughts and stuff like that.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And I always tell people, trust yourself, mm-hmm. trust your gut feeling. You know, if you're feeling it like in your gut or something, or if even, you know, in your mind or whatever, then if in doubt, what do you got to lose by making a visit like that? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope that the physical stigma goes away, because I have a friend who was mentally being affected, but had a severe hyperthyroidism, which it could not be identified at first for quite a few years. But she was having a lot of sleeping a million hours, mm-hmm. really lethargic.
Right.
And doctors are like, well, you look fine on tests. So you're it's all in your head. And she's like, seriously.
Yeah,
but, you know, it was affecting her mentally as well.
Of course. That's right. And that's why I meant, you know, that type of medical, what we call it, a screening or a rule out or something like that. All the years I was in practice in psychiatry, you know, I never forgot my medical training. But whenever I felt it, I would send them back to the primary care physician for perhaps a referral to an internist, mm-hmm. an endocrinologist or something like that, because I felt like this just doesn't just quite fit, mm-hmm. you know, with what I'm used to as a psychiatrist. I want to make sure we're not missing something.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's great, I would like to see medicine on a whole, not kind of let go of psychotherapy, but bring it into the whole package and work together with other.
Well,
Yeah.
Well, that's just, it's called integrated care.
Oh.
And there are a number of clinics set up that way now that everybody's right there on site. So it's not as if you have to even go through like a formal referral, you know, to the various specialists or whatever. Everybody's right there. It's along quote unquote holistic lines, integration of mind, body, all of that, that everything is all connected. Mm. And Christina, what I've put your finger on it, which I think is so important, it just sort of normalizes this.
Yeah.
That, you know, given what you're going through, it'd be quite common to feel the way that you do. So stop beating yourself up.
Absolutely. And what's great about care facilities like that, and if we get that more on board, more places to realize that, okay, you do have maybe this physical issue going on, but how is it also affecting you psychologically? And right. How is it affecting you in your body? You know, if we have some people, you know, physical therapists to help you out, you know, it's just, if you have all the professionals together, like you say, it's just great. And if they work together, realizing one side is not better than the other, that just the physical is not enough. We bring all the parts together.
Right.
We're healing a whole empirical body, because the body isn't bits. It's the whole body.
Yeah. And Christina, the other thing that, again, you're really talking about is all of that has to do with connection, because that's what's been so much of a worry, I think, for all of us who work in the health field during the pandemic. Mm. Like, you know, just putting ourselves aside for a minute, the social isolation, you know, that we all have to observe. But in fact, there's scientific articles, research these days on loneliness.
Yeah.
I mean, a study of loneliness, as you probably know, it wasn't that long ago that the term loneliness kind of had a bit of stigma associated with it. Mm-hmm. People who described themselves as lonely felt kind of pathetic, like mm-hmm. that they were a loser or something. Not anymore. I mean, people are speaking openly about loneliness because they haven't seen their best friends, their key family members, or they haven't touched them. They haven't hugged them. All these sorts of things that we're all longing for. Mm. And, you know, this is why through the progression and getting vaccines and everything, everybody's, you know, kind of looking down the road to the quote unquote new normal.
Mm. Not crazy about that phrase, but but you know, yeah. For me, one of the hardest bits for me was the social isolation. I'm so blessed to have a wonderful husband and a wonderful doggy, but yes. I'm a very social person. So throughout the week, I would meet several friends. I would be out and about with clients, and I love physical one-on-one contact with human beings. So not having that, I was like, no, this is so not working for me. Because actually, I think it's very, very important for developmentally and spiritually and mentally to have those connections. And
what we noticed in New York City at the beginning, as you know, when New York City was the epicenter almost a year ago now, where I work at SUNY Downstate, we immediately set up services for all of our frontline clinicians, for the nurses, for the doctors, for the students, the residents, everybody who was dealing with all of these seriously, acutely ill individuals with COVID-19, because we wanted to be able to offer them support and services as they did this very courageous work right on the front lines. And so we found that the groups that we facilitated for the various groups of doctors and nurses, plus the one-on-one counseling that we provided as well, was very well received. The individuals found it helpful to just be able to vent about the things that they were experiencing. Mm-hmm. So many patients dying. The fears of their getting the virus themselves, of course, were there before they felt, you know, that they had enough PPE and that kind of protection. But again, afraid if they get infected, well, what about their spouse or children at home, for instance, or their extended family? And all of those sorts of things were all of the things that we've been committed to kind of keep our health force as healthy as possible through this challenging era that we're in the midst of.
Now, where do you see things going forward for everyone, not just doctors, but the whole society, both in New York and around the entire United States and the world, actually?
Well, I think a lot of people looking at this, they think, well, first of all, we're all going to have to deal with the various losses that have been attached to this. And as you know, there have been huge economic fallout, for instance, even in people who are quite comfortable, that sort of thing, whether they had to close an office, let their staff go, or things like this.
Yeah.
All of the homeschooling, we do know that restricting this again to physicians, women physicians, especially ones who are mothers, that's been a very complicated mix for them as well, because if they don't have their nanny or the kids in school or whatever, then they're either having to do more of that themselves. What about their patients, trying to balance all of that? What about loss of income? Again, also, you know, worry about their kids getting maybe behind in school, you know, all those kinds of things. Then some of them have actually been ill themselves or been exposed, so they've had to leave work. Then they feel guilty about that. Some have lost extended family members to the COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So there's all of that. One of the things that we're really looking at very closely is something called post-traumatic growth, because, as you know, we hear a lot about PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, where people are exposed to these changes that are so horrifying and then worry about getting flashbacks, trouble sleeping again, startle or becoming numb, all that sort of stuff that we put into the category of PTSD. Mm-hmm. There's this whole other movement, though, through all of that, though, in a developmental way, people actually become stronger through this. They sometimes describe reserve that they didn't even know they had. They find themselves letting a lot of things go that perhaps, you know, that expression, don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
They feel somehow there's been a maturing through this process. You hear people describe embracing some sort of new spirituality. And that what's so funny about that is some of the people who say, look, I never believed in any of this, blah, blah, blah. But I do find that it's helpful for me and my family and our whole neighborhood or something like that. People pulling together. I've heard of so many people that they find their friendships actually more intimate with others. And so we're trying to see through all of this if actually there will be some strengthening. So in other words, it's the silver lining of a nightmare or something like that.
It's amazing that you say that, Dr. Myers, because the associates I now work with in this company, we would come in physically to the office in New York when I was there. But after COVID happened, we are now connecting online fewer times than we did in the office, but we know more about each other. During Christmas, we went around each other's houses with our laptops and showed our Christmas tree and stuff like that.
That's right.
We feel more humanly connected.
Yes. And in fact, Christina, that's something we noticed in our groups for the doctors, that doctors were more openly expressing their feelings to each other. We're breaking down crying, for instance, which is normal. But yet there's been this persona in us in medicine of professional, we call it professionalism or clinical neutrality or objectivity or things like that. It doesn't mean that the physician is cold, but it just means that there's a sort of persona. But it's been actually refreshing for just to see the authenticity that has occurred through this sorrow of losing perhaps a colleague or what this is doing to, and even breaking down the hierarchy a little bit between teachers and students. I mean, it's still all there, but it's in a softer, more humane form.
It's making us more human and less about all the different titles and whatever. And we get to see each other as more human beings. Yeah. And you mentioned something else that was very important. You mentioned the going back to spirituality, whatever. After 9/11, I was in New York. I saw what happened. I saw more dads and moms connecting, playing with their kids. You begin to realize what's important. And one thing I found that was a silver lining is a lot of my friends say, hey, it's been tough with my kids at home all the time. But for the first time in like ever, we have dinner together, which we weren't doing before. Because now we're at home, we're having dinner together, we're connecting more. I find out more about my kids' lives. And yeah, so there's been a wonderful, a lot of wonderful silver linings because of this. And one, you mentioned growth. We and my family here moved to Texas, and we had thought about moving out in New York City to buy a house because it's so expensive to buy a house there. But we probably wouldn't have thought to move to Texas had we not met my friend online that I interviewed. But see, that's a big growth thing. And I think a lot of people are making these big personal, physical, and psychological growth things, both spiritually and mentally, because of this. So there's a lot of wonderful silver linings. Well, where can they get a copy of Becoming a Doctor's Doctor and find out more about you?
Okay. So first of all, it's available, of course, on Amazon. And also Barnes & Noble or any of the, you know, bookstores like that. But in addition to that, though, my website, www.michaelfmyers.com, I've got a lot of things on there with regard to a bit of a, you know, synopsis of review, not just of this book, but of the other books that I've written as well. I've got a lot of podcasts on there, things like that that I've been doing, you know, especially since the pandemic started, but many of these things before that as well. So it's a kind of a powerhouse of information.
Awesome. And you know what? You don't have to go it alone. Like Dr. Meyer said, there's help out there. If you're thinking you're feeling depressed or going around in a cycle where you feel you need help or, you know, whatever mentally you need help, it's out there. Reach out. And thank you so much, Dr. Meyer, for coming to share your great wisdom today on Savvy Broadcast.
Thank you, Christina. It's been nice to talk with you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Like, subscribe, and share this episode. To listen to more Savvy episodes and Savvy Biz Tips, go to www.lifeunscriptedradio.com. To find out about our paid sponsorship opportunities or how to become a guest, email Christina at lifeunscriptedradio.com.
Bittrex is a cryptocurrency exchange empowering traders to feed their curiosity. With more than 100 tokens and unparalleled security, Bittrex offers a platform for next big thing discoverers to dive in. Get ready to trade beyond the trend. Discover more at bittrex.com. Trading involves significant risk of loss and is not suitable for all individuals. Carefully consider your level of experience and risk before trading.
Sarah just added kettlebell classes to her 300 gyms. The thing is, those gyms don't have kettlebells just yet, but Sarah isn't sweating it. Her equipment supplier has Salesforce Customer 360, the number one CRM, so they can unite around customers like her. Marketing already knows the model she wants, so commerce and IT serve it right to her in a mobile app.
Wow, one-click checkout.
See how uniting your teams can help you wow customers at salesforce.com/customer360.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.